Bugger off. Bugger off. Sod. Sod. Bloody. Bloody. Now put them all together. Bugger off, you bloody sod.
Bugger off, you bloody sod.
Okay, you're in.
Let's smash things up.
Every Saturday from noon to 1 p.m., listen to Generation Annihilation on CITR 101.9 FM, UBC Radio in Vancouver.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
Yes. A little bit of boom. Chicka, 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 chicka. Aloha, you have landed in Juicebox Radio 101.9 FM. That's on CITR with the lovely Ms. Julia Saunders.
And then smoking hot Caroline McGillivray. Yes. She is in the house, and we are taking calls, so feel free to call in and contribute to the conversation we're having tonight. That's 604-822-2487. Yes, that's right, 604-UBC-CITR. And school has been in for a while. We've had some new listeners that are young and up and coming and really kind of getting juiced up about their sexuality and sort of the college, university environment out here where there's so many fresh meat to choose from. So listen to Juicebox. Make sure you're getting your sexual health needs met, kids out there.
It's very important. And all of us are kids in one way or another when it comes to sexuality. So make sure you do your research, study, and be a good student as well. Which was
interesting. Use condoms.
Lots of condoms.
Anyway. We have a very interesting guest tonight, and the topic that we would encourage you to call in about is around belly dancing. Now, you might think, what does belly dancing have to do with sexual health? Well, you're going to find out. On an adventure to Cairo over 15 years ago, our guest discovered the mystery of belly dance. In New York City, she avidly studied for many years under the renowned expertise of multiple teachers of this mysterious art form. After her initiation to the subtleties of yoga and meditation at the end of 2000 in India, our guest Monica began to combine her knowledge of dance with chakra energy work and tantra to create what she coins the mystical dance approach, reforming the ancient tradition of dance as a tool for spiritual evolution. I think I like the sounds of that. Mm-hmm. Since then, Monica has passionately explored and taught the art of sacred and ritual belly dance around the world. Monica offers mystical dance intensives in India and in Thailand, where she lives most of the year. And she has led workshops in many countries that I can't even list. She has additional upcoming workshops in our very own city here in Canada, in Vancouver, and in the U.S. Welcome, Monica, all the way from New York City this afternoon.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So nice to have you. You must be tired flying in from New York this morning.
I am.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I think it must be 1 in the morning for you. Yeah, about 1 o'clock in the morning. And you've been up since 3. Wow. So you're here to do a workshop. So tell us a little bit about the workshop, top of the hour.
Well, the workshop is just a fabulous way for women to come together and to celebrate their femininity, the power of the femininity, and to use belly dance as a vehicle. And to also explore, as you mentioned before, using the belly dance and the tradition of women's sacred circles to really harness and to control the sexual energy and to use it as part of our development. It's a joyous weekend full of celebration, of self-discovery, lots of dance, and lots of feminine bonding. So there's much, much more there than simply belly dance. We always tell women that when they see the title, mystical belly dance, sounds so interesting, so mysterious. And we say it is, but it's much more than technical dance.
Mm-hmm. This mystical dance, I can imagine. Anything with the connection of mystic has got a lot of not only mysteries in it, but I think just unexplained phenomenon. Lots of outcomes that can never be really foreseen, are very personal to each person involved in the workshops, in the mystical experiences. So very intriguing work that you do. And what do you mean by sacred circles? You mean circles of women or the circles that you do in a belly dance?
Actually, both. I never thought of it in that way, but we do start in a circle. Usually when people go to a dance class or a dance course, there's always that beautiful relationship with them in the mirror, but we actually don't use the physical mirror in the dance studio or the yoga studio. We dance a lot in a circle where the women really start to appreciate that each woman in the circle is another mirror to their own femininity.
Oh, yeah.
So we mirror each other, and it's just a beautiful way to bond in a sisterhood. So we start in that tradition because women, actually, when people think of belly dance, they often, and it's not surprising, they have the image of women being very excitingly titillating for a male audience, which there's an aspect of that when you think of the cabaret, nightclub kind of show of belly dance. But belly dance has a whole tradition of women coming together in sacred circles. Belly dance, you can say, is a dance by women for other women traditionally. Women would come historically together to celebrate the feminine energy at certain rites of passage in particular. So if a woman was first menstruating or became engaged, married, preparing for childbirth, it would be in circles like this that they would come and really celebrate the divine feminine. So we try to relive those experiences, even in the class. So we'll start in those sacred circles, and there's a lot of circle movements all through the body. Belly dance is a language of sacred shapes, sacred geometry, and the circle, the infinity loops, the shimmies are all movements that we do in the body and movements that we can see in the universe as well. So there's a lot of circles.
I love that, the sacred geometry aspect of things. But I want to go back to something that you'd said earlier around rites of passage. Our guest last week was David Hatfield, who does a lot of work around rites of passage for men and boys. And so let's just talk about that for a moment, and we'll move on to the tantra and the belly dancing connection. What are your thoughts on rites of passage in our culture?
I think that they're not nearly celebrated as they were historically. For instance, I remember when I first menstruated, not to criticize you, Mom, but I think I was handed some sanitary napkins and that was it. We kind of lost that celebration of, wow, this is a magic moment for a girl becoming a woman. And in the Middle East, not typically everywhere, but traditionally, when a woman began menstruating, she would actually be invited into a party where other women, and sometimes men, but usually women, were there, and she would be invited into the center of the circle to dance, to show that she actually was connecting more with the power of her feminine. And this is quite beautiful. It was a way that women could share their own energy and support the other woman. It was a moment she would never forget. And wow. It's a pity that we kind of forget these things, because they're important moments in life, a changing point.
Yeah, I think some of the discussion that we talked about around rites of passage and the fact that we don't have them very strongly. I mean, there's the bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah that I can think about, that I think of in the Jewish faith, that's still very strong, practiced strongly here in Canada. But just like a lot of cultures maybe still do it. Maybe we just don't hear about it, but I'm just thinking about in the larger, you know, North American, white, whatever, European cultures, it's such a lost thing. And my point is that I think we're doing a real disservice to young people, because they are in this lost, lengthy, like, adolescence that goes into their 20s, almost late 20s, mm-hmm. before they really feel like they've become an adult. And so we're losing them taking responsibility for their lives and serving the world around them in an adult way, because we don't sort of say, here you are into adulthood, and, you know, this is what you have to contribute now that you're an adult. Adults contribute to the culture around them. What are you going to do now that you've become this, you know, with all the rights of being an adult, with all the privileges, but then all the responsibilities? So I think we're really doing a disservice to our young people and to our culture in general when we don't do this. You know, we have these 30-year-olds, children running around, still living at home. And not that there's something wrong with that, but just, you know, I think we're doing a disservice generally, largely in the larger culture, not doing rites of passage. Very important.
And I think the rites of passages that we do hear about aren't always nice ones. Things like female circumcision, for example, in Africa, where it is supposed to be a celebration in terms of a young girl turning into a woman, but it's not necessarily a pleasing one, and it's frowned upon all throughout the world because it's pretty painful and can kill some of them. Mm-hmm. So I like the idea of, with belly dance, that it's something that's embracing and it's warm, and I think that's really important. And I think some of the work that Eve Ensler is doing with the vagina monologues, for example, is hopefully changing a little bit of that throughout the world. But I think it's great that you're doing the work that you do. It's absolutely fantastic. So tell us a little bit more about the tantra part. You were mentioning when I spoke to you earlier today on the phone that you talk a little bit about tantra, because sometimes people are a little bit hesitant. What's your definition of tantra?
Well, I'm glad that you asked that, because tantra becomes something so misunderstood. People automatically, when they hear the word tantra, they get, kinky sex, a chance to practice strange Kama Sutra body positions during lovemaking, which... okay, there could be a point there, but tantra actually is a spiritual path. It's something that goes so deep, it's so wide. Tantra itself is a word. It actually means net or web, and tantra is a practice of self-evolution that actually that creates a web for everything in our lives, that we can use everything in a way to evolve. And so tantra is an energy practice, and there is a sexual aspect of it, but tantra is also the study of colors, mantras, astrology, astronomy, dance, music. Everything around us can somehow be an impetus to our own evolution. So in the realm of tantra, we do have the use of dance, and we also have the use of the sexual energy, because according to the tantrics, our sexual energy is one of our strongest, most creative life forces, and if we can harness that, it becomes like a propeller for everything we do in life. So in this way, in the belly dance, we don't just teach the technical aspects of the movements, but also the energetical aspects, because in the belly dance, it's very much a dance centered around the pelvic area, the hips, the abdominal cavity. And there lies our power centers, our root chakra, our sacral chakra, our navel chakra. And by starting to tap into those energies, it's like a gateway opens up, and we can start to use those energies in lots of different things. So in this way, belly dance is a tantric practice. It's using the energy, beyond what we physically see on more of a subtle level. And so, of course, all that we do is a tantric practice in the dance. But in particular, we focus on what's happening with the sexual energy.
In your workshops.
And yes. How do you do that?
Well, we start with a little bit of theory, a little bit of background, because the big difference is when people know consciously what's happening, it's much, much easier to tap into this. And so we start to talk a lot more about our subtle energy bodies and what's happening with each movement, actually, that we do in the belly dance. Because belly dance is an art of isolation, and there are a lot of micro movements. So in fact, a belly dance practice could be compared to a Tai Chi practice in the Taoist tradition or a yoga practice in the Indian tantric tradition, because we're actually starting to do locks and movements that will start to open up energetically. Our body and our subtle bodies, and we just start to become much, much more aware and to perceive the energies as we dance. So it becomes very interesting, because women who have either danced before, who had never danced before, they all of a sudden start to say, wow, I feel so different. I feel more energized. When I walk down the street, I feel like people look at me differently. I look at them differently, and they're not really sure what it is. And we start to explain a little bit more how the dance movements themselves start to unlock and start to open up ourselves on an energetic level.
Absolutely.
How do you find this work? Works? You've taught this all around the world, right?
Yes.
And so you've met all sorts of different types of women from all different walks of life, from different cultures. Is there certain cultures that are a little bit more closed off? Would that be us in North America, or would that be in other parts of the world?
You know, I think each culture, you're absolutely right, especially with women, they have their own shade of Shakti, I would say, their own shade of femininity, their own places where they're really open and their gifts, and their own places where they're really much more contracted and not so in touch with this aspect of their being. And it does vary a lot. I haven't taught in Canada yet, so I'll have to give you the full report on the Canadian women.
We'd like to know about the Canadian women.
But I think from what I've seen so far, Canadian women are quite open. Of course, we all have the potential to go much deeper. But I've seen in other parts of the world in particular, just this whole idea of celebrating the goddess is something foreign to them. Because in their cultures, they even say to me at the end of the course, wow, you know, when you asked us, please share a name of a goddess that inspires you. Some of them say, I didn't even know what to say, because in our country, in our culture, we don't celebrate the goddess. I don't know names of goddesses. And this was really an eye-opener for them. And that to me is, wow, amazing, because I grew up in such a different way, but I can appreciate it so much. And it's interesting for women then to see that it's so beautiful and powerful to really connect with the divine power of the feminine. And that becomes interesting, and you see huge differences culture by culture on this level.
Right, and I would think that some of them, maybe that a woman or someone who would take your course would have increased self-esteem. So, like, what would you see as some of those benefits, self-esteem benefits? What do you see there in your work? The results.
The first thing you can see is that women become much more comfortable in their physical body. And this is so important. Belly dance, in fact, unlike a lot of other dance forms, any body form can look beautiful in the belly dance. And it becomes so empowering for a woman to realize, wow, no matter what my body weight is or my shape is, this dance is all about the curves and the flow of the feminine energy. And the dance looks as beautiful on me as it does on everyone else in the circle. And so it becomes such a way to appreciate the body, how it is at this moment, and to celebrate that, to say, this is a gift, it's a vehicle. And you see women changing immediately. I had a woman in Turkey, actually, and she was a former model. And she shared at the end of the course, she said, you know, I've been a model for years, but this is the first time I've really loved my body. Women just really start to appreciate the gifts of their body and how good their body can feel, no matter what it looks like from the outside.
Yeah, that's huge. I just want to speak to, I do these evenings of sex ed and entertainment, and we had a belly dancer at my last salon, Juice Box Salon, in March, and the talk I was giving before she came out was all about acceptance of body style and how much that contributes to your pleasure and ability to, involve yourself in your sexual life more and be actually in your body more and express your sexuality with your body as opposed to your mind, which I think a lot of us do get in our heads. And, you know, it inhibits orgasm and full expression of your enjoyment and your pleasure. So, you know, the belly dancer that came and did a performance at the salon right after I spoke about that, I think really depicts what you're talking about. And a lot of my friends that have taken belly dance classes, they also speak about how, you know, how much more sexy they feel and how much it's increased their ability to love themselves. And it's that's just such important, powerful work in this world, you know. Like, if you feel good about yourself, you can think about how powerful you're going to be in your work, in everything you do, in your relationships, right? It's all, it seems kind of obvious, but then we still don't do it, you know. It's like we still lock ourselves away and feel insecure and don't show up in the world in ways that could really make the world go round in a better way.
And the belly dance is a safe space for women to explore this aspect of being able to go and to move in a sensual way, in a way that's quite enticing, and to be comfortable with that, and that does carry over in their daily life.
Mm-hmm. Also, in their sex life.
In their sex life. Actually, it's become so interesting because in the dance we observe where is the body really open and where is it really locked? What can you move really easily naturally? And what feels like, wow, it hasn't been moved in such a long time? And the hips and the pelvic area is one place where a lot of women say, I didn't know I could move that way and I didn't realize it could feel so good. And, of course, this carries on.
Into the bedroom.
Into the bedroom, between the sheets, of course.
Wonderful.
Do some issues come up sometimes in terms of women who've dealt with sexual violence or where there's a lot of healing, I imagine, that would go on?
There is so much healing that happens. We don't per se necessarily focus on it in particular in the sense that it's not a main focus, but there's always, always healing that goes on. And I know so many women who have come to the belly dance, whether they realized it or not, to heal on this level.
Hmm.
And you see really deep results where they're just so much more accepting of themselves, confident at this level, and empowered. They see that they're in control on this level. So you definitely see this. It goes very deep.
Without breaking any confidentiality, do you have any success stories that you can tell us about in terms of a woman who's become completely empowered and changed her life in a really big, major way?
Yeah, I have a good friend, and and my friend here even is raising her hand. But she actually was the victim of incest and other things in her childhood. And she stumbled upon belly dance and loved it and realized, wow, something was really shifting for her. And she continued to involve herself in the dance, knowing that it was not just a beautiful art form, but mm-hmm. something was deep, was really, really shifting. And today, she's an amazing professional belly dancer and teacher. And she shares this work on this level in particular as well. So I actually have countless stories around this.
Mm.
And in fact, I know a lot of women who are really deep into the belly dance. If you really have coffee with them and go deeper into it,
mm-hmm.
they not all, but many of them share similar stories of self-healing, whether it's sexual or other things. And I think that's an underlying theme, but it doesn't feel like therapy. The dance is so joyful,
mm-hmm.
so much a celebration, that it just happens naturally.
I love the fact they have done studies where when women are physically, if they start getting into a physical fitness routine, that they start believing that they're able to fight back in terms of physical violence. And I like the fact that that works quite nicely that way in embracing the feminine. You're mentioning it. I'm going to go back to the sacred circles one more time in terms of that. What I thought was interesting without using the mirrors, that do you find it's not as competitive a... Because a lot of dance classes, I grew up in a ballet studio myself, and it was always competitive where you're always fully aware of who was next to you, what they were doing, and you find with the circle it tends to make it, make the women just kind of melt a little bit better.
Absolutely, it changes everything.
Empower each other.
Because it's not about just them, it's about what's happening in the group,
mm.
and really seeing the reflection in everyone around. And so we actually incorporate a tantric philosophy, a tantric principle. It's called transfiguration.
Transfiguration.
And it's about going beyond the obvious, the physical, and trying to connect with the divine essence of ourselves and everything around us. And so that's an underlying principle of the way that the mystical belly dance approach is built. It's about transfiguring ourselves into the power of the goddess and seeing that in every single woman
mm.
around us, because they're our reflection. And the more we can see it, this beauty, this harmony, this divinity in the other women, the more we actually start to increase that in ourselves. It's really the law of resonance, the law of attraction. It's the mirror effect. Mm-hmm. And this becomes very beautiful for the women, because so many times we see other women, especially if they're powerful, if they're beautiful, they're intelligent, they're a competition. I don't want her to get too much in her power, because where will that leave me? And we just turn that over completely, like, wow, the more she's in her power, that means the more I'm in mine. So it becomes really a new approach altogether. And a lot of women say, yeah, I love this approach because I don't feel like the girl next to me is my competition. No. The more beautiful she is, that's a reflection of my own beauty. And it becomes really more a sisterhood.
Mm-hmm. And are you finding the women are taking that outside of the studio and actually embracing that in life?
I see that. I do.
It just reminds me so much of Kundalini Ecstatic Dance. I don't know if you've heard of that work or done any of it, but have you? Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it, yes.
Have you tried it?
I haven't. I would love to.
Yeah. It's this. I've done about 4 series. Which we do breath and movement and dance for each chakra and clearing and recharging and all that. So it's very mystical as well. And they cover up the mirrors in the studios that we do it in. And it's, I think, quite different in some aspects of how you're describing yours, but it's so transformative and so liquefying the body and... really, you know, I could just, it's so transformative and so important. And the thing, you know, versus therapy, which is very heady, this can be so incredibly therapeutic without any words, without even any, like, potential description afterwards that you might say, well, something moved in me and something's gone now that was bothering me before or felt blocked about, and you don't even know how to describe it. But it's just a kinesthetic bodily experience that, you know, you sleep like a baby and walk around the next day feeling completely transformed, and yet you can't put words to it. So mystical indeed. Mm-hmm. I think we must go to a break, but we'll get back with we have so much more to talk about with our lovely guest, Monica. Thank you for coming from New York today, just for us. No, I'm just kidding. She's come to do a workshop, which you can find out more about if you need to close the hour for yourself right now from mysticalbellydance.net. No, you can't buy anything on her website on that. Okay,
just a little bit. There's a better site. It's www.agamayoga.ca. So CA for Canada. Go Canada.
So it's Agama as in A-G-A-M-A yoga.
Yes.
.ca. Now, we're going to be back with more information on some of how this affects men in their lives and should men fear women's sexual power. And we're also going to be talking about how belly dancing is used for healthy prenatal and birthing preparation, and it has been doing for centuries and centuries. So keep that dial locked on Juicebox, CITR Radio 101.9 FM in the Lotus Land of Vancouver, BC. We welcome your calls especially, so call in to 604-822-2487. That is 604-UBC-CITR, and we'll be right back.
Yeah. Download this. Every Wednesday through Saturday until November 8th, the Vancouver Theatre Sports League present Improv. The internet goes offline and on stage for 90 minutes of hilarity when improv comedians from Vancouver Theatre Sports League take on Facebook, wikis, blogs and iTunes. Improv is on at the New Review stage on Granville Island every Wednesday through Saturday until November 8th. Doors are 7:30 on Wednesdays and Thursdays, 8 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. Looking for great student rates? Don't miss 2-for-1 Wednesdays, or get a group of 10 or more together and save as much as 35% over Ticketmaster rates. For more information, visit www.vtsl.com.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we are back in the box. If you're just joining us now, you're joining Julia Saunders and Caroline McGillivray on Juicebox Radio 101.9 FM. And we've got the lovely guest, Ms. Monica.
Hello. And she's talking about belly dancing.
And she's in town from New York, which is where she flew in from this morning. And she's been working all around the world in Asia and all sorts of different places, India, everywhere, just teaching this wonderful work.
Turkey, I heard. So cool. Now, before we went on the break, we were talking about the male side, the Shiva.
The Shiva
to the Shakti, that is the female. And so just as a precursor, we want to say this is not all about heterosexists. It's also about, like, just feminine and masculine energies. So if you are maybe a very feminine man and want to take the belly dancing class, I don't know. Is that an opportunity or no?
Actually, I do offer something called Shiva Shakti belly dancing, where men and women come together in this.
Okay,
it's
cool.
Very interesting. But this weekend is just for women.
Okay. Great.
But
all right.
Maybe next year it will be Shiva and Shakti.
This is at Igama Yoga, and that's on East Broadway, 420. 420. We love those numbers in Vancouver, the 420. You can see people lighting up on the street out here.
I just got that. It took me a delayed reaction.
420 East Broadway, but agamayoga.ca is where you want to check out to find out about this fabulous weekend workshop that's happening. All about belly dancing. So now, Monica, I wanted to ask about, what have you got this, honey? About the man first, no?
Oh, I wasn't sure. What were you going to ask?
I wanted to ask, how does this affect men in their lives? The work that you have, what we were talking about all in the first half of the show, how empowered women can become, how fluid maybe their expression, their sexual expression, their body, their self-esteem. How does this affect men in their lives?
I hope very well. I think they may agree. But I think you mentioned it already, and because this is a juice box radio, women who go into this kind of practice, they feel much juicier. They're just much more into that juicy aspect of femininity.
Love
and
it.
For a man, it's like, wow, what is that? It's this Shakti force. I think for men, it's quite amazing to watch, and it can be overwhelming. But it becomes an amazing opportunity for a man to check in with where is he on his masculinity, because it's all about the Shiva Shakti scales. It's all about, we have our own personal internal masculine and feminine, but then there's also the interaction between a man and a woman.
Mm.
And when you have a really strong, juicy, powerful woman in front of you, it makes a man, it wakes him up. It's like, whoa, what is this? And how can I meet that polarity? Where am I in my masculinity? And so I think for some men, it can be uncomfortable because it's this something that they're like, well, what is my role in front of this? Am I the same? How do I play with this energy? How do I help focus this energy? And so it can be a new experience for them, but it's a great opportunity for them to check in to see where they are in their own masculine energy and their own feminine energies as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of power for women in terms of really embracing the female power. And I don't know, should men fear women's sexual power?
Should they fear it? No, they should worship it. They should see it as something amazing. I don't think there's anything to fear, but I think it gives the it really gives the man the opportunity to go more into his power as well.
I agree. In her book, Revolutions from Within, Gloria Steinem points out that although women can now vote and are better paid in more rewarding positions, the real changes haven't happened because women haven't changed how we feel about ourselves, that deep down that we still feel that we're second-class citizens with no inherent self-worth except for which that can be compared to a man, the most intimate part of ourselves, our sexuality. It's been robbed, and once again, this is expressed from a male point of view. And I'd like to think that belly dancing, because it is so powerful and it is so feminine, it helps us reach out and become powerful in a female way, as opposed to trying to match man in male energy, if that makes sense.
Exactly. You really hit the point.
Yeah, because I'm hoping. Because I think the more ways we can do it, because I guess about a year ago, we did some work with Tanya Diamond, who's she calls herself thetantrateacher.com is her website.
It was only about 6 months ago, not even.
Has it only been there? I thought it was around Valentine's last year.
7 months ago.
Okay. Yeah, I guess so. I keep thinking it's later in the year than it is. But what was interesting about Tanya...
It's freezing outside, that's why.
It is freezing. I keep thinking it's like January or something instead of right before Halloween. But on that note, one of the points she made was the fact that sometimes men and women are confused in the bedroom because of the fact that women keep trying to meet men on a masculine power level as opposed to basically embracing all that is feminine, and that there's so much power there, and we keep denying ourselves that power, which I'd like to think that belly dancing can get us back to that point.
Absolutely. I mean, women really find, one, they find the permission to go into that energy, and then they see what a wealth, but a well of power it is, and it's infinite. And it's something to go deeper and deeper in, into their own Shakti force. It is a force.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, sorry, did you...
I finished.
Okay. what comes up for me is around the power of submission. So
I like that word.
Do you have?
But
some
you know, the
comments?
Power of submission is called surrender, because what we're really talking about is being able to trust and surrender. But surrender takes a certain power and control. Submission, underneath submission, is a kind of hidden aggression, isn't it? It's like
domination.
Domination. Mm-hmm. But surrender is by choice, and surrender is done consciously. So you can say what we're really looking at is opening up to surrender, to trust, not to simply submit.
Mm. I like that.
Very well
said. I may have to quote you on that once in a while on other shows, if that's okay. Because I really like that.
Now, I was doing some looking into this around the prenatal and birthing through belly dance, and I found some information at visionarydance.com, and the idea that belly dance was used as prenatal conditioning for women in ancient times is not a new one. So what are your thoughts on this?
I think it's, for me, it was eye-opening. I had been a professional belly dancer for years before I entered the tantric realm in yoga. And my first very important yoga teacher, I remember him saying a few times, and it made my jaw drop, like, what is he talking about? He said, you know, any good belly dancer knows that the belly dance starts in the vagina. And I was like, what? I've studied with the greatest belly dance masters in the world, and I never once heard any of them say that. And I didn't really understand what he was talking about until I started to reevaluate the dance. And as I moved, I realized, that's right, as I'm moving, the movements are really coming from deep within the womb. There is a natural connection there. Each movement, you can say, is centered somehow there, and the energy flows through that area. So there's a natural conditioning that happens of the muscles in the pelvic area, particularly the vaginal muscles, as we belly dance. When we start to do it even more consciously to realize that we're trying to open and retain this energy and couple it in with stronger PC muscle squeezes. And so in the mystical belly dance approach, we actually teach PC muscle squeezes, which is something that most women, when they're preparing for childbirth, when they're in the pregnancy stages, they're taught these Kegel squeezes, as some people know. We start to incorporate that more consciously. It's happening in the dance, but we add much more squeezing and locking, not just in the abdominal cavity, but in the vaginal cavity as well. And it's truly, truly powerful. And so for a woman in preparing for childbirth, this is amazing, because now she can at will control the muscles in this area, and it makes it much easier for natural childbirth and other things.
I'm controlling my muscles right now.
Are you
now.
Squeezing?
It'd be great for orgasms, too.
Well, I think that, like, the mind-body connection as sort of developed in the art of belly dance is very much in tune with yoga principles. And so the energetics in the focus and the concentration that brings you into full body awareness, which is one of the beautiful gifts of yoga, and it's a very important feeling to have control physically, to have a control emotionally and mentally in your everyday life experience. But I would imagine when you're birthing a baby, it's, you know, you really want to be able to be as much in control physically, emotionally, and mentally as you can be during that process. So obviously yoga, tantra, belly dancing, never thought of it, but belly dancing to prepare women for that additional blood flow to the organs, the oxygenation, the power in the muscles, etc. The physical competence would also, of course, lead to emotional well-being, I would think. So as I look deeper into belly dance and the history of it, there is also apparently a birth dance. Did you hear about this at all, Susan McNeil?
There is a birth dance that some people have said that they've witnessed, but the birth dance, the way I've learned about it, is that there have been traditions, rituals, where women, when they're about to give birth, they would actually collect all the other women in the village, and they would come together, and the women would form a sacred circle around the woman who was about to give birth, and they would spend the time in her labor dancing, moving their pelvic area, really manifesting a certain power in the pelvic area. And when the woman felt she was ready to actually deliver the baby, she would also get up. They would dig a small hole in the earth below her, and she would gyrate in these kind of movements, and then it prepared her to actually give birth to the child. And that's an amazing, I can imagine, experience to be surrounded by women in their power and to have that transmission, that subtle transmission, that a wisdom of the ages coming through for a woman to give birth in such a way.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. So ancient, you know.
And giving birth in a sacred circle would be pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing, yes.
So Suzanne's work, Suzanne McNeil, I think she did some important pioneering research in the 80s around birth dance, as she called it. And I think a lot of others have come after her and sort of brought it to more of the Western mind and hopefully out in the masses a little bit more, hoping Juicebox will help to deliver that message as well. Because midwives and doctors and pregnant women, mothers-to-be, et cetera, belly dancers and instructors of belly dance should probably know about these things and at least dispel this information so that women can come and find instructors like yourself, Monica, and other belly dance instructors to help them prepare for this important aspect of their life, this delivery. So some of the research discoveries that Suzanne came to, and love to discuss some of them, is it's easier for women to learn belly roll movements when they're pregnant. Do you agree with that?
I cannot say that I've been observing this. Most of the women that are coming and learning belly rolls, not all of them are pregnant, so I haven't done a long-term study on this. I imagine that a woman who is pregnant, though, because she has a certain weight, she's bearing weight in this area, she's much more conscious of what's moving, so that could be happening. Mm. That's an interesting thing.
Mm. As a side note to that, I had heard from another belly dance teacher that I'd taken some classes with that it's actually easy to learn the belly roll actually in the bathtub, actually, because it's easier to keep your hips still so you can actually isolate that area.
It's good to even learn it and practice it when you're waiting for the bus. Belly roll can be appropriate any time.
Nice. The undulation or the camel walk apparently feels uncomfortable during labor for all subjects. And this is according to one of the research discoveries by Suzanne McNeil. And the motion made it feel like there's pressure downward on the cervix. And after finding out we didn't use it in labor, it didn't affect anybody in the class except occasionally somebody in the 8th or 9th month. Interesting. What is the camel walk?
The camel is an undulation, but a moving undulation. They call it the camel because from a distance, we kind of look like camels moving through the desert.
Ah.
So you're using your upper body and your lower body in opposition. So it's a serpentine kind of wave through the body.
Okay, cool.
So it's an undulation in motion is the best way to describe it.
Well, I can imagine in the 8th or 9th month that might be a little hard to
do. A little bit hard.
Yeah,
you can tell, you can get feedback from women who aren't pregnant and they think it's hard at the beginning, so yeah, it would be difficult.
So I would think, I mean, some of the things that she discovered, sorry, was just, you know, these circular movements, the things that you've described, the whole, isolating the muscles and things like that. And you know, like we've talked about as well, I think the physical balance, the energy that can come from it, the increase in energy and the attitude about the body, which I think women that are pregnant and especially closer to the end, the eighth and ninth month, feeling as big as houses. And so any kind of improvement in the attitude of the body is probably helpful. What about indigestion? Have you heard that belly dancing can help with that or make it worse?
I wouldn't say it makes it worse unless you're a really bad dancer. I don't know.
Some of us are.
No. Because you're using so much the muscles in the abdominal cavity, it is another way energetically you're clearing this area. Mm. In fact, in yoga, we start to learn things like Nauli Kriya. We return the belly in a vertical plane. In belly dance, we do it on the horizontal with the belly rolls. Mm. And Nauli and some of the other yogic techniques are used to strengthen our Manipura chakra, our navel chakra, our inner fire, which has a lot to do with our digestive fires and helping to relieve things like indigestion. So belly dance absolutely would open us up physically and energetically so that things, the problems in the abdominal cavity that might be normal now would become, you'd be able to heal yourself just simply with the belly work in the dance.
Right. Hmm. So, and one last point she made was that she said that a lot of women that reported that babies would kick a lot when they lay down to go to sleep. Now I've heard this across the world. You know, as soon as you go down to go to sleep, the baby starts moving and kicking. And these belly rolls during the night helps to quiet the kicking, helps to put the baby
back to sleep.
I guess it's
like rocking a baby.
Yeah.
Like in a snake-like way.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of cool.
Baby would be born dancing.
The baby's like wanting to be constantly moved when it comes out as well. Do you have any kind of reading or any kind of suggestions for people that might want to find out more about belly dancing or birthing?
There are a couple of books that I've always loved. Iris J. Stewart has written a book called Sacred Woman, Sacred Dance. And it's a beautiful study of how dance has been a sacred act for women over the times. Not just belly dance, but all kinds of different dances. And this is a very wonderful resource. Mm. And luckily, it's been amazing. In the last 5-6 years, there's just been a mushroom effect with the amount of information that's available now on the healing aspects of belly dance, the sacred aspects of belly dance. Simply go on Amazon.com, put in belly dance books, and you'll get a number of different books that are really wonderful that trace the history and some of the beautiful processes of the dance beyond the physical technique.
Right, right.
But Iris's book, Sacred Woman, Sacred Dance, is a great place for anyone to begin.
Cool. That's great. There's a whole bunch of other books that are on the reading list that we pulled out of the internet, but you're welcome to email us if you're interested. So I would think you've been to a birthing ritual where there's been some of your belly dancing instruction.
No, but this will be on my to-do list.
Right, right. Cool. So we've had some successes. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to...
Yeah, we did talk about the success. Is there any other success stories that you wanted to add?
Or anything else about the mystical dance experience?
And I think you touched on this when you talked a little bit about people having ecstatic experiences. With the dance, the deeper you go into it, it becomes really more a meditation for you as a dancer and even a meditation for the people who are in the presence of a dancer in this state. And it really goes back, you can say, to the tradition of Indian dance. In India, historically, the classical dancers, they're called Devadasis, Deva meaning God and Dasi meaning servant. So they're the servants of God. And the Devadasis were trained not just as dancers, but as yoginis, as yogis, where they used the dance to reach states of higher consciousness. So the belly dance in the same way can have that effect. When you go really deep into it, when you go beyond the obvious, the physical aspects, it becomes a meditation and it can become a gateway to higher, more expanded planes of consciousness. And this becomes really the mystical aspect, the magic of the dance.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, you know, when the belly dance classes I've taken, they're so challenging technically. that it just was, it wasn't in that letting go state or that mystical state, but in definitely in the Kundalini ecstatic dance, which again works with a lot of the principles you're talking about with the breath and the chakra and the energy and harnessing, you know, earth energy, bringing it up into different chakras and into your heart and et cetera, through movement and sound. And it's just, you know, in that space of letting go in the music and in the body feelings, it's quite powerful and amazing. And of course, nobody's caring what each other looks like. You know, it's, you know, the mirrors aren't there, and we're not trying to do some kind of choreographed thing. So I could imagine in that space of letting go, once you maybe get better at belly dancing. Now, I don't know how your retreat works this weekend, but I could imagine the techniques of belly dancing. It's pretty challenging, and you know, so maybe you do a little bit of that, but then it's just like to let it go. Like, I don't know how rigid you are, but
I'm a taskmaster. But then we also have a lot of improvised meditative exercises as well.
Great.
I was just going to ask how, if Julie and I were taking your workshop this weekend, how would that work? Just walk us through it.
Yeah, sure. A lot of women who come, they haven't done formal belly dance before. So we start from the beginning. And for even women who have done a lot of dance, because I start to explain all the movements in terms of the energy, the chakras, mm-hmm. the movement of energy, the sacred shapes. Everyone starts as a beginner, but we build on that very quickly. So we start with basic isolations. We do learn different choreographies, and we start to get into different styles of belly dance, because today it's a huge fusion of different, you can say different impulses, different styles. And we add into it meditations, tantric theory about the chakras. And so it all comes together from many different angles.
Nice. What homework would you give us if we had taken your workshop so that we can integrate this into the rest of our lives to be healthier, more sensuous beings?
I think it really has to do exactly with this, with integrating, really seeing our beauty, our power in everything that we do, that everything in every moment can be a ritual. Mm-hmm. Everything can be a sacred act, whether it's putting on our makeup in the morning. It's not just for vanity. It's decorating the goddess, to making eating a ritual, mm-hmm. Love making a ritual, dancing a ritual, that it's all part of really using everything around us in a tantric way for going deeper within.
Mm. Sounds like our lovely tantric goddess. You mentioned her, Tanya.
Tanya Diamond.
She talked all about just living in sacred sensuality all the time, mm-hmm. and the juiciness of being mindful in all of your actions. So important, and we would be in so much more peaceful place and so much more loving place if we could be mindful. And hey man, if mystical belly dance can get anyone there to mindfulness, mm-hmm. fabulous. Agama Yoga is also offering other kinds of workshops beyond this weekend's workshop with Monica. Maybe the Agama Yoga girl can tell us a little bit about her, what you can offer at this place and how we can get in touch with you beyond the website. Some people just have a phone, so.
Well, I guess I'll start with the easy thing. The phone number is 778-829-9628. 778-829-9628. What we offer at Agama Yoga is actually a curriculum of yoga, which is pretty much equally balanced between theory and practice. Sometimes in yoga, we focus so much on the practice, but we're actually missing a huge part of what yoga has to offer. And it's important for us to know what we're doing in order to be able to make it most effective and make our time most efficient and to get what we want out of it. So yoga is, it's about union, but it's a spiritual path. And so that's what we're offering, an opportunity for people to come and to explore this as perhaps something that fits within what they're looking for. And so we have our main teacher is coming soon and giving some lectures, and all of that information's on the site, or you can call us.
Is this one of the reasons why that you connected with Monica, because of the synergy in between the work, and brought her to bring her to give to
students? I actually have to say, you were asking her about success stories in the past, and I actually have to say that I found this yoga because of Monica. Monica's actually been studying this yoga for many years, and she's actually one of the most sort of advanced teachers in the program. And I just sort of stumbled across her, and I had, you know, it was just one of those things where it was like, I met her and I was like, I want more of what you've got. just give me what you've got. And so I just sort of dance with her for a while, and then she went back to the main school where the sort of Agama is an international school. So the main school is in Thailand, and I just followed her there, and I stumbled across a tantra workshop, and then I started to sort of open my eyes to. I had been practicing yoga for years, but had no idea what it actually really had to offer. And so I started with, you know, opening up myself, and then it just, the doors just kept opening and opening and opening, and I'm just eternally grateful that I stumbled across Monica, and I was just delighted that I could invite her to Vancouver and do this. I just hope that everybody who's able can have the opportunity to dance with Monica at one point or another in their lives. It just is, it just changes everything.
That's a really awesome testimony. Tell us about a couple things, like just key points that where things changed for you. It sounded like it changed your whole perception, but
totally.
Specifically.
Well, I'm quite a voluptuous woman, people can say.
Beautiful woman.
I have a lot of curves. And being in the West so much, it's really hard to kind of like fit yourself. You know, you go into a store and nothing fits you, and you have to wear these big ugly bras because your breasts are too big, and it's like nothing, you know, you just don't fit in this picture of what is supposed to be beautiful. And although I've always had, you know, pretty good self-esteem, coming to Monica's workshop is all of a sudden I was sexy. You know, I wasn't just intelligent. I wasn't just capable. I wasn't just somebody who could stand on her own 2 feet. All of a sudden, I was sexy, and I could be appealing. And I all of a sudden, like, just another part of me just opened up that I never even really understood was missing. And so it totally changed everything. And you talk about going on with it in your life. It's like my life has never been the same.
I think that's fantastic. You guys, thank you so much for being on the show.
Sorry about that. Whoa.
That's very squeaky.
We'll have to look at the website agamayoga4.ca for more information on the teacher, Swami. I can't pronounce his last name.
Vivekananda.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So this is a particular type of yoga. This is a tantra-based yoga.
Yes.
Is that right? Very exciting. I'd love to take some of those courses myself.
Me too.
So I'll be probably calling you tomorrow. All right. So we hope you enjoyed tonight's show. And thank you so much, both of you, for coming, and Monica for coming.
Thank you all for the work that you do. It's amazing. Oh. I appreciate hearing reflected back so much of the other things that you have been incorporating in your show. And it just makes me so hopeful to see and hear about all the things that are happening here and how you're spreading the work. So thank you.
Yeah, we will continue to. So it's very important work. So we are always open to show topics, any kind that you might want to, listeners. Please be in touch with Caroline or Julia at juiceboxradio.com and let us know your preferences, because you know what, after 5.5 years of being on the air, we're starting to run out of ideas.
Oh, I don't know about that, Julia. We still come up with different twists, but we do like to know what you want to talk about.
Exactly.
And all those things you want to hear about. And all the things you want us to research for you. All
there's
the things
the
we do in the name of
voice.
Research.
I was wondering, you were so keyed up about this topic, honey, that your voice was not its usual, like, you were all like, so it's really great to hear.
I know,
you.
My inner girl just came out.
Mm-hmm, you're excited. So I wish, I hope you can make it to the workshop this weekend. I can't, but I'm hoping you do. And yeah, please feel free to email us. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And coming up next, Hans von Klose's Misery Hour. Now, Marion, I didn't even get to see what he's wearing tonight, but he's a very sexy man to be miserable with.
He gives me shoegasms all the time.
Tune in to him for 2 hours after us, and tune into Juicebox Radio every Wednesday at 10 o'clock.
Oh, cock. We like the cock.
You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening.